Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Clearing the Crease podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Cox. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's edition of the Clearing the Crease podcast. If you haven't done so already, please go back and download all of our previous episodes of Clearing the Crease. And if you haven't done it yet, check out our new website, clearingthecrease.com. That's right, clearingthecrease.com. We have news, blog posts, and also a way for you to listen to this podcast as well. So go check out our new website. It's called clearingthecrease.com. Now, we have a lot of things to get to today. A lot of winter weather out there, so we're actually going to have some things that are kind of weather-related in this week's edition of Clearing the Crease. The first one I want to talk about is the World Cup in 2022. Yes, 2022, 7 years down the line. Now, Qatar was awarded the bid for the 2022 FIFA World Cup. Now, there's been a lot of issues discussed about Qatar having the World Cup in 2022 because of the weather. Now, in the summertime in Qatar, generally when the World Cup is played, temperatures can reach right around 122, 125 degrees Fahrenheit. For those who may be listening outside of the United States, that's right around 50 degrees Celsius. That's brutally hot, and that's something that these athletes won't be able to regularly compete in, and nor should they be allowed to. Weather is going to be an issue. So there's been a lot of discussion recently about moving the World Cup to sometime in the winter months, whether it be January, February, or February, March, or even later in the year, November, December. The one thing that runs into that is the English Premier League and a lot of the European leagues, the peak of their season is generally November, December. So how's that going to affect their club teams? So that's a major issue for them. But also, Fox, who has the broadcasting rights for 2018 and 2022, and also now 2026, which we'll get into in a moment, they run into an issue where generally, the World Cup is the only major sporting event going on. It's during the summer months. There's no summer Olympics you have to worry about. Yeah, baseball season's going on, but you're starting to hit the dog days. It's the middle of the season. It's not major competition. Basketball's over. Hockey's over. March Madness, football, all those things aren't going on during that time. If you were to move the World Cup up to somewhere in the winter months, you're now looking at competing with the NFL, which in the United States is going to beat everything. It's going to trump all. Football is going to beat any sporting event, no matter what it is. So football is going to win that battle. Also, if you move it early in 2022, you're now looking at possibly competing with the Winter Olympics and also March Madness. So Fox right now is set to possibly lose a lot of money on the 2022 Olympic Games if it's not played during the summer months. Now, back in 2013, when Fox was asked about this, they stated how Fox Sports said, unquote, Fox Sports bought the World Cup rights with the understanding they would be in the summer as they have been since the 1930s, unquote. Now, if you're telling me that Fox now is going to have to lose a lot of money, well, they're going to want to be compensated if I'm Fox Network. Well, the FIFA organization, FIFA, decided to go ahead and award the 2026 World Championships to Fox without there being a bid. Now, recently, a few years ago in Zurich, ESPN, NBC and Fox each submitted bids for the 2018 and 2022 broadcasting rights for the World Cup. Now, Fox was the winning bidder, along with Telemundo, which is going to be the primary Spanish broadcast for the World Cup. That's good. It's good for Fox in terms of that, but there was no bid for 2026. Now, a lot of speculation is going around that this was kind of FIFA making up to Fox, so Fox doesn't have to worry about losing revenue or having to bid more than necessary if they're trying to compete with NBC or with ESPN for the 2026 games. So the fact that there was no bidding competition between these networks is kind of surprising to a lot of people, but a lot of speculation going on right now that FIFA went ahead and gave Fox the 2026 FIFA championships. That being said, it's kind of interesting to see that 11 years from now where television is actually going. Now, Fox being a network broadcaster, I'm curious to see what television is going to look like in 11 years. I think we're going to be at the point where people are going to be able to pick and choose what channels they want to have on their networks. If they want ABC, NBC, Fox, Spike TV, whatever it is, people are now going to have the choice. I don't think people are going to have to go through cable subscriptions anymore to get their entertainment. I think things are going to go towards what the WWE Network has done, in all honesty. People don't know what the WWE Network is. It's $9.99 a month. You have access to original programming, all their pay-per-views, past and present. You have their live shows that go on, such Main Event, NXT, which is broadcast every week. So there's a lot of original content. You can watch past episodes of SmackDown, Raw, Main Event, NXT, whatever it may be. So I think that's the model that we're going to see very shortly. So I'm curious to see where network television is going to be when this rolls around. But my speculation, along with others, that Fox was given the 2026 Olympics because of the possibility of the 2022 FIFA games not being played in the summer months, and they're going to stand to lose a lot of money because of it. Speaking of the winter weather, believe it or not, pitchers and catchers are reporting basically in about a week or so. But I'd say I'm recording this podcast on February 19th, so it's roughly a week. Pitchers and catchers are reporting to spring training. It's so cold outside, I'm thinking about spring already. But spring training rolling around for pitchers and catchers. Well, some minor league ball clubs are now selling tickets and getting people interested in baseball season, even though it's about 20 degrees outside here in the Triangle area in North Carolina. Well, the Wilmington Blue Rocks, a single-A affiliate of the Kansas City Royals, has a promotion where their first day that single-game tickets are being sold, they have a promotion where whatever the temperature is in Wilmington, Delaware at 8 in the morning that day is the price for opening day tickets. Now, at 8 a.m. on the day tickets were being sold, this was back just a couple days ago, earlier this week. This is Darren Revelle from ESPN who was reporting this story. At 8 a.m. in Wilmington, Delaware, temperature was 4 degrees outside. That's right, 4 degrees. Now, since it was 4 degrees outside, the Wilmington Blue Rocks sold their tickets for 4 cents apiece. That's right. Opening day tickets for a single-A ball club, that's a game on April 16th against the Frederick Keys, out of Frederick, Maryland, for 4 cents. Now, they sold 3,600 tickets because of this. Now, there's a convenience charge if you decided to order them online or you wanted to call the box office to get your tickets. There's a $5 handling fee. So if you decided to do that, it costs you a few extra bucks. So if you actually went to the box office, it was 4 cents. You could scrape up 4 cents in, somewhere in your car or possibly in your couch cushions if you wanted to and get tickets for a game. I think it's a pretty good marketing tool. Now, Stephanie Rash, the team's director of tickets, said, quote unquote, "It's really cold here and we want the fans thinking about us." We want to get the fans thinking about us, unquote. I think it's a great promotional tool. It gets people thinking about the team. It gets people in your ballpark, which in that case you're able to promote not only your team, but you're able to, lack of a better phrase, promote your promotion. So a lot of these minor league ball clubs, they have all these different promotions that go on throughout the year. Kids Day, dollar hot dogs or $2 hot dogs, $2 beers, whatever it may be. So you get a lot of fans to your ballpark, they have a good time. They see a lot of the promotions going on. They sit there and say, they got $2 hot dog day, or $1 hot dog day, this time in, some date in June, whatever it may be. So they can plan ahead for that, if they have a good time, something for the kids, for the family. I think it's a really good idea. Now, they lose some money in the short term, but here's the thing. It gets people inside your ballpark. You're allowed to promote your team. I think it's a very good thing that the Wilmington Blue Rocks have done. Apparently, more than 200 fans took advantage of buying up to 8 tickets, which is the max. So 32 cents got you 8 tickets. I mean, imagine if you scalped those things for $1 a piece. I mean, that's quite the profit margins if you're asking me. But normal game tickets usually sell for $6 for general admission, $11 for field box seats. I think you can get people into the stadium and just kind of get a feel for things go. Stephanie Rash, again, the director of tickets, said they told fans if the temperature was zero or below, they would have gave away the tickets for free. So they could have stand to make absolutely no money on this, but they would have gave away tickets for free, which I think is pretty cool. I think it's a pretty cool promotion if you're a minor league team. For fans or people that don't know, minor league teams don't play player salaries. That all comes from the major league organization. So I think it's pretty cool. So hats off to the Wilmington Blue Rocks. Now, lacrosse season is underway. But that means one thing. You have to be looking good going out to the fields, going out and watching these games, which means you got to get some fresh swag, which means you need to go check out ReflexLacrosse.com. That's right, ReflexLacrosse.com. Check out some sweet swag coming from a startup company that you're going to enjoy. You got to look good when you go to the field. Can't be looking like everyone else. Got to have that nice swag. Got to impress the ladies out there, guys. All you laxers out there, check out ReflexLacrosse.com. All that fresh swag coming up for the spring and summer seasons, ReflexLacrosse.com. Now, for my out-of-bounds segment, I got a couple of things for this week. First one is, I mentioned earlier, you know, just the weather that's going on here in the East Coast. I live in the Triangle area, which is Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. It's in North Carolina. For those who may never have heard of Raleigh, Durham, or Chapel Hill, it's NC State, Duke, and UNC. That's the best way to describe it. Those are the three major universities in this area, NC State being in Raleigh, Duke and Durham, UNC and Chapel Hill. So right now there's some winter weather that's coming that has come through, and we're hitting record lows in terms of temperature. I'm not going to lie, it's cold outside. It's been single digits, you know, at night, wind chill, you know, getting, you know, now it's hitting going to be below zero. So I'm seeing a lot of publications and news outlets here in this area who have I actually saw a headline on a newspaper above this. This is above the fold on a newspaper in the area where it said life-threatening temperatures coming through. Now I understand. I've lived in the upper Midwest in Wisconsin before. I'm not trying to brag like, oh, this isn't cold. No, this is cold. I have layers on right now. You can't see it, but I do. There's one thing about life-threatening that you shouldn't use that phrase or those two words lightly, in my opinion. Now, it's life-threatening if you're sitting outside, you know, in cold weather and you don't have the proper clothing or, you know, proper provisions, whatever it may be. Yeah, then it's life-threatening. But let's not use that term lightly. I saw that earlier, and I was kind of taken back by the fact that that term was used to describe just the cold weather that's coming through, just the temperatures. It's not icing. In terms of, you know, precipitation, it's not snow. We had a little bit down here, but let's back off using terms like that. Now, if you will say record temperatures or record low temperatures, I'm okay with that. But let's not just throw out life-threatening, just scaring people, you know, putting fear in people like that. I think it's just, to me, it's overboard. Okay, now something a little bit happier in terms of my out-of-bounds segment. Recently, I wanted to do this last week, but I recorded last week's podcast just before the announcement of this, but Spider-Man is now going to be included in the Marvel Comic Universe. I'm not going to get too much into this because I want to get into our main topic here soon, but Sony has had the rights to Spider-Man. As you see, there's been a lot of... you know, the Spider-Man franchise has had a lot of turnover in recent years. Tobey Maguire had a trilogy, I guess you can say. I believe the other guy's name was Andrew Garfield, I think is what his name was. The guy who did the most two recent Spider-Man movies. He's no longer in the picture. They're kind of moving forward with the Spider-Man character in terms of who's playing him, because I guess they just weren't big fans of him playing the part. I enjoyed the two movies that he made. I really did. But I guess they're moving forward, needless to say. So I'm curious to see how Marvel is going to use Spider-Man. Now, the Marvel comic, or Marvel Cinematic Universe, I should say, you know, that's the Captain America movies, Avengers, Thor, Iron Man, Hulk. Now we're going to see an Ant-Man. I talked about it a lot the first podcast. You should go back and listen to that. But needless to say, now you're bringing Spider-Man to the mix. So I'm anxious to see who's going to play the character, but also how they're going to portray him and work him into the storylines. The perfect opportunity is going to be for the Captain America 3, the Civil War storyline, which is set to come out in 2016. He's one of the main, if not the main piece to actually that comic storyline along with Captain America. So I'm excited to see this. It's not very often that you see these different entertainment companies that have different rights to each other are actually going to be sharing these characters or the right to use these characters in their universe. So I'm excited to see that. I'm curious to see if we're going to have more of that because Sony right now they have X-Men, they have Fantastic Four along with Spider-Man. So I'm curious to see if they're going to be able to use if Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to be able to use more of those characters. I don't think so, but it's intriguing. I like it. I know a lot of comic book fans and fans of these movies are really excited about the announcement. So keep watching the movies. I really encourage it. It's going to be a character that everyone knows, and it's going to bring a lot more depth into those storylines. So I'm curious to see how many movies, again, Spider-Man's going to be in, but it's an exciting moment. I know my brother-in-law, Patrick, he's super excited about it. Some of my close friends are really excited. I'm excited for it. So should you. Now, for those who have listened to my podcast before, know that I'm a lacrosse fan. I've coached the sport, played the sport, still try and play when I can. If you go check out our website, clearingthecrease.com, you'll see on the top of the page there, you actually see a silhouette of a lacrosse stick kind of in the background. At the top of the page, and one thing that I'm concerned about with lacrosse right now is how early the seasons have started with the lacrosse season. With this winter weather that has hit the East Coast hard, a lot of games are being postponed or canceled, you know, delayed, whatever term you want to use for it. So all these games are getting pushed back, delayed because the season's starting earlier and earlier now. It's the middle of February. Some teams have already played two or three games. And there's been some high-profile games. We've had University of Virginia play Loyola. Both those schools have won national championships recently. Duke versus Denver. We've had Johns Hopkins versus Towson. Hopkins versus UMBC. A lot of these big-profile schools, I mean, Cornell and Syracuse have played each other already. A lot of these big games have already taken place, and we're middle part of February. Now, there's two concerns with it. One, with the weather. Lacrosse is not a winter sport. It's a spring sport. Games used to start beginning of March, maybe the last weekend in February. Let's say, for example, it's February 28th is a Saturday. You may have a game then. But generally, games were starting first week in March, and things really picked up and during the latter part of the month and into April. And then that's when the conference tournaments hit at the end of April, early part of May. Then you hit the NCAA tournament. Then you go to Memorial Day weekend and you have the national championships. Well, a lot of coaches now don't want to play midweek games. Now, I understand that. It's easier for students with travel in terms of academics. A lot of these coaches, you know, they're not like football and basketball where they take these flights all over the place. A lot of them take buses on highways that have bad roads because of weather that you and I all drive on. So they're taking that. They're not taking, you know, flights unless it's a cross-country trip during spring break, whatever it may be. So my one concern is, one, is the safety of the athletes. You're having to practice outside in, you know, 25, 30-degree temperatures. It's not very good on the body. I've done it. It's not very fun. a lot of schools don't have the indoor facilities that some schools have. Now, for example, Syracuse University in upstate New York they have an updated indoor facility where they're able to practice more full field stuff now. They also have the Carrier Dome, which they can use somewhat, but they have to share that with men's and women's basketball because they compete in the Carrier Dome. Football spring practices are going to be taking place, those things. So they have to compete with other programs for field space. They just had a game recently against Cornell. Cornell, because they're an Ivy League school, Ivy League has a rule that they can't start practicing until the first weekend in February. Maybe February 1st, whatever it may be. But nevertheless, they played this past weekend. Cornell had only been practicing for 2 weeks. They'd only been able to get outside for 3 days. So they only had 3 practices on the full field before they're playing their first game. Does that help anybody? I don't think it does. It doesn't help the sport because right now these high-profile games, these great matchups are just getting completely overlooked. Loyola and UVA, two recent national championship teams, no one hardly knows about it unless you're diehard and you follow the sport. But everyone's wrapped up in college basketball. Super Bowl just ended a couple weeks ago. Everyone's now thinking about the combine that's taking place this weekend. No one's thinking about lacrosse, so it hurts the sport. I think a lot of coaches have said this, that they need to possibly change the national championship date. Now, Division One and Division Two and Division Three has had a set date where the national championship is played Memorial Day weekend. Now, because of that, and also the expansion of the NCAA tournament, teams want to play more Saturday games or weekend games so they can get higher profiled opponents, boost your RPI, looks better for the tournament selection committee, and also now they're able to, like I said, compete and make a better resume. So now you have to play weekend games if you want to play these tougher opponents. It means you have to travel further. I don't think it's good. I think they need to bring back midweek games. For example, I spoke moments ago about Cornell versus Syracuse. Now, Ithaca, where Cornell is located, is not far from Syracuse. They're both upstate New York. You can travel there in a day. There's no reason why that game can't be played on a Wednesday. On a Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. There's no reason why the game can't be played at that time. There's no excuse why that game has to be on a Saturday. That game could be played in late March or early April if they wanted to. I just think it hurts the sport by having all these travels, all these games getting delayed and pushed back. It doesn't help the kids. It doesn't help the sport of lacrosse at all. Now, people think lacrosse, they think spring, they think summer, throwing shorts and sandals on, maybe a hoodie if you have to, but that's it. That's what people want to do. That's what people want to see, not teams practicing and playing scrimmages in snow. I've seen pictures and video clips of scrimmages and practices right now. They're playing in the snow, and that's not the way the game is supposed to be played. I think if lacrosse wants to do itself a service, the coaches need to make a conscious effort to not play games before the middle part of February at the earliest, not February 1st. Maybe the last weekend in February is the first day of games. Bring back midweek games, especially short travel. For example, no reason why Towson and Johns Hopkins should play on a weekend. Those two schools are 10 minutes apart. You play that game on a 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. Towson UMBC, Towson Loyola, Loyola UMBC, those games should all be midweek. Hopkins versus Maryland, that game, because it's a high-profile rivalry game, I could see being played on a Saturday afternoon. The schools are just over an hour apart from each other. I don't think there's a reason why these games that are far or close to each other should not be played middle of the week. That's just my opinion. Do the sport a service. If you have to, push back the national championship weekend, so teams can play later in the year. But do the sport a service. Play it in the spring, not in the wintertime. Make things easier for everybody. Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Clear in the Crease podcast. If you want to get in touch with me, if you have questions or comments on stories, anything you want to hear on the show, contact me through clearingthecrease.com. There's a contact tab at the top of the page. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know your questions. Also find us on Twitter at CTC Podcast. Also like us on Facebook, Clearing the Crease Podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Cox. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you guys next week.